Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu sends the Meraglim, but in Chumash, Bamidbor, they're not referred to. It says, Shlach v'yosuru seretz kinoa. Liragel means spies to see which is the best way to conquer the land. But the Pasuk doesn't really say that he sent them for that purpose, as losura seretz kinoa. Some of the Farshim point out that the Lassur means losa lahem menucha, like the pasuk losa lahem menucha. It means to find good things. So Rav Soloveitchik has a whole drasha that the Jewish agency printed in English, a beautiful drasha. That what was the initial idea that the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted to send Meraglim, because the Tanakh describes the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael as one of a marriage, as if the Bnei Yisrael are the husband and Eretz Yisrael is the wife. Ha'isek ki almana, Eretz Yisrael is like an almana. It says in when the Jewish people were sent into Golos, Rashi on Sefer Eicha says, like a woman whose husband went away, not like an Amon whose husband died, like a woman who's an Aguna. She's waiting for the husband to come back. And Eretz Yisrael it says in the Teuchachem v'chukos v'shamam v'aleha oivechem. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim that this was a Besura Toiva, that Eretz Yisrael is like a good devoted wife, that she's going to wait till the Jewish people come back. That all the years when Eretz Yisrael weren't there, nothing grew in Eretz Yisrael. And when the Jews came in the early 1900s, the Jews came, so things started to flourish. It was Shamu Alai Avechem. So it's like a marriage between a husband and a wife. And the Gemara has a din, Asalanu Shnei Kadosh and Soisha Ad Shirena Tchino. You're not allowed to get married unless you see the girl a little bit. So the Meraglim was sent, Losar Sa'aretz, to come back and give a pleasant report to Bnei Yisrael that it's a good Shidduch. They should tell him how good the Shidduch. And then later on, the Pasuk says that they changed. The Pasuk refers to them as Meraglim, I think. By Yosef it says, Meraglim Atem. How does it say? Meraglim atem liris is Eretz Ha'aretz bosem. Meragel is a spy who comes to find Eretz Ha'aretz. The Rebbeinu Shlom wanted losur, and they took it as leragel. So then they were saying negative things about Eretz Ha'aretz, but that wasn't the initial plan. And when Yeshua the Kolev gave the good report, so they say Ha'aretz. They went losuroisor, like the original intention was. And the other 10 were meraglim. They didn't go losuroisor. That was Rav Soloveitchik's drasha. So the Jewish agency acted much. They did it in English. What motivated the meraglim to give such a negative report? So there's a... those who learned in Kerem Yavne may remember one of the famous drushes of Rav Goldberg, Zuchan Lerach, used to say over the Zohar on the Pasuk, that they understood, they felt that it was a schus that were chosen in Hashemayim. They were Maminim, they felt it's a big schus that were chosen to be Nisiei Ha'eda, to be the Rashi Hashvatim, but they realized that if they'll move into Eretz Yisrael, the community will need a different type of Nasi, a different... Rosh HaShevet, and they'll be out of a job. So because of this negiah, they didn't want to lose their job as Rosh HaEda, so they recommended, let's stay in Chutz Lartz. So that's what they say from the Mashgiach, Rabbi Rucham Levavitz, Mashgiach from the Mir Yeshiva. The Zohar quotes that their Loshen was, what a schus we have in HaShemayim, that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us a schus, to be nisid, they were tzaddikim. Rashi quotes that originally when they were sent, they were tzaddikim. But even though they were big tzaddikim, there was such a big negiah to remain in office. So that's why they were prepared to give up the whole Eretz Yisrael. And they quote, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that you're not permitted to appoint a Kohen Gadol to be a member of the Bezin to determine whether he should make Kippur Hashanah. Why not? Because the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to walk barefoot on the floor. And if you're going to make Kippur Hashanah, so Yom Kippur is going to be a month later into the winter. If it's a month earlier, it's still the middle of the summer. A month later, it's going to be in the winter. So the Kohen Gadol, who we assume is going to be a tzaddik, Kohen Gadol will have a negiah. he won't want to postpone, even if the year needs Yibur HaShana, he may not be interested in making the Yibur HaShana because of his negiyah, because he'll have to walk barefoot on the floor. So that's why you're not allowed to have him as a member of the Bezdin for the Yibur HaShana. Pasuk lists off all the names of all of the Roshi HaShvatim, and then it says that Moshe Rabbeinu changed the name of Hoshea bin Nun to Yehoshua. What was that all about? So that's what Rashi quotes. Ko Yoshiach HaMiatzas Meragim. He quotes from the Gemara. What was that all about? Yoshiach HaMiatzas Meragim. So there's a famous comment from the Targum Yonis and Ben Aziel that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw how humble Yehoshua bin Nun was, that's why he felt that he has to give him a bracha. What has got to do with the humility? So usually the Welt says that if you're going to have a whole group of 12 people together, 10 are going to say one way. So if the fellow's humble, he'll go along. He's not going to fight with the other 10. So that's what the Moshe Rabbeinu saw, that Yeshua is very humble, and he was afraid they may give in to the others just because he would be outvoted. So he gave him a bracha, Kol Yoshiach Me'atzem Ragla. You should say your piece. You should say what you really feel is correct. And others interpret the comment of the Targum Yonison on the Targum Yerushalmi on that pasuk, Kadchoma Amos Onusay, that they had already heard from Eldon and Medad the Moshe Meis Yeshua Machnes. They already heard the Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die in the Midbar. He's not going to succeed in bringing Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And Yeshua Ben Nun is going to be the Rosh Eidah. So he was a humble person. He wouldn't want that. He would prefer that Moshe Rabbeinu should live on. So that's why he had a Negiah. Because of his humility, he had a Negiah to say, let's stay in the Midbar. Let's not go to Eretz Yisrael, because we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. I'm going to have to take over. I would rather not take over. He was humble, so let Moshe Rabbeinu remain as the Rosh HaKohel. So those are the Welt says the two interpretations in this comment that the Targum Yerushalmi made. Why it says, Kanchoma Amusanusa di Yeshua. Why Moshe Rabbeinu gave the bracha when he saw how humble Yeshua was. The Meragim gave the report. And the Ramban points out that what Rashi quotes on the Gemara, called Vashek Hashem Itchilos Ediveriyem Isayim Bokiyim. So first the Meragim start to give a wonderful report of Eretz Yisrael. It's a beautiful land and everything grows nicely in here. The Paris, everything is nice, exactly the way Moshe Rabbeinu said. Then they say Ephes. Ramban says that was the Aver. When they said Ephes, they're giving their opinion that they will not succeed in winning the war. And they use a Loshen, Kichozo Kumimenu, the nation, the Canaanim who live in Eretz Yisrael are more powerful mimenu. So what does it mean, mimenu? So the word mimenu in Hebrew could mean mayhem or from him, from them or from him. Mimenu means from us, or mimenu means from him. From him means a capital H, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rashi quotes from the Gemara Soita, that they set up Bikursus, Ki chazaku mimenu, ha'om ha'yoshe ba'oritz, is stronger than God. That the God of the Jewish people is not powerful enough to wage war. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Rebbeinu Shalom. It'll be a chil Hashem. That you weren't powerful. You're only powerful enough to drown the Mitzrayim in the Yam. You weren't powerful enough to lead the Jewish people to a victory on the dry land. So that's what the pasuk says. That Yeshua b'kolev ripped Kriya. They heard up Bikursus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't powerful enough. The din says when you hear someone who is Megadifes Hashem, he's supposed to rip Kriya. The Gemara has a discussion in Sanhedrin that we who live in Chutz Lord, we hear the Goyim cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. Should we rip Kriya every day? The Gemara says you don't, because in Cain, the Smala HaBegad Kula Kroim. You're going to have to rip Kriya every day. So you don't rip Kriya. So you rip Kriya every day. So the Welt says, Pshat and the Gemara, you only rip Kriya if it's Shas Chimum. The Gemara says when someone dies, you only rip Kriya b'shas chimam, when you're all excited about it. If you live in among the Oivdei Avodah Zarah, they're always cursing Hashem. There's Chira v'Gidif every day on the news, every day in the street. So Nismalei Kalabega Kula Kroim just means that there's no more shas chimam. We used to all of this api curse. That's why we don't rip Kriya. But at that time it says that they rip Kriya. And that's why the pasuk continues in the middle of Parsha Shlach with the dinim of Chatas Avodah Zarah. The Ramban writes on Chumash. Why does the Chatas Avodah Zarah fit in here? It's a hemshech from the Chet HaMeragim, because the Meragim said, Ki chazuk efes, ki asa om, and chazukum imenu, they said that Nibilti Yecholas Hashem, the God isn't strong enough to win such a battle. So the Rebbeinu Shalom tells all the dinim of Avodah Zarah, that normally if a Yochid violates an aver b'shegig, which if he would have violated the mezid, would have been chayv kor. So if he violates a b'shegig, he brings kizba o seira and a keva. And here, if a person violates avodah zarah b'shegig, he brings an eis, doesn't bring kizba o seira. Then the pasuk says, and there's a din par halam dava shel tzibur, that if the bez nagodol paskins in error, that a certain isa koris is mutter, a certain detail in hilchos krisis is mutter, and the Rav HaTzibur and Eretzol violate the din based on the mistaken psak of the Bez Nagodol. They bring a par helam dover shel tzibur, a par lechatos, and hereby what is Zareh, if the Bez Nagodol made a mistake and paskin that a certain aspect of what is Zareh is mutter, then they don't bring par helam dover shel tzibur. They bring a so'ir lechatos and a par le'oilo, I think. Par ben bakar echad le'oilo, a series in echad lechatos. Everything is different. Avodah Zarah is everything is different. The Ramban Chumash writes, why does the Chumash write the dinim of Avodah Zarah b'shegig here? Because it's a hemshech from the Chet HaMeraglim. Because what the Meraglim said, Kechaz Ephes and Kechaz Akum Imenu, that was all Pikursis. That was all like Avodah Zarah. Pasuk says that the other Meraglim were complaining that if we come to Eretz Yisrael, Orem Bitzuris Gedoilos. Pasuk says, Ephes Kiyas Ha'om, Veha Orem Bitzuris Gedoilos Miyot. So Rashi all of a sudden over here quotes from the Targum Unkelus on the Pasuk, Orem Bitzuris Gedoilos Targula. Targuma, the Targum says, Krichan. Orem Apasuk Chav Ches. Krichan, what do you mean? Akrach. We usually assume Krach means a gigantic metropolis, and Ir is a city. And a krach is a metropolis. By Ir and Idachas, the Gemara has a din, Ir v'lo krach, that you burn down the whole city. If Ir v'lo kfar and Ir v'lo krach, if it's too tiny a little village, it doesn't can have a din of Ir and Idachas. And Idachas means in Eretz Yisrael, if Roiv of the Toshavi, Hawaii, Bosha, Pavit, Azar, you have to burn down the whole city. So that only applies if it's an Ir. If it's too little, that doesn't count. And if it's too big also, it doesn't have a din of Ir and Idachas. Whoever worshipped Avodah Zarah gets the death penalty, but you don't declare the whole city has a din of Ir and Idachas because you just destroy, the Rebbe Shlom doesn't want to destroy a metropolis and Eretz Yisrael. So that's called the Krach. So Rashi quotes in Targum Unkelis, Targum HaKrichan, and he explains what does it mean. What does Targum Unkelis mean, Krichan? The Pashup Hashtag Krichan means gigantic cities. So Rashi writes differently. Targum HaKrichan, Loshim Bironios HaGulos, they're round buildings. Krach, lichrach means to wrap around. So they're round. What's the significance of saying round? Bosh b'shat Rashi, just saying gigantic cities. So they quote the famous comment from Rav Zalman Valojina, that was the younger brother of Rav Chaim Valojina, that the pasuk in Chumash Vayikra tells the dinim of Tzaraz Batim. So Rashi on the parsha of Tzaraz Batim quotes from the Medrash that this was a besura tovah to Bnei Yisrael, that when they come to Eretzal, they'll find Tzaraz Batim will have to knock down the buildings. And the process of knocking down the buildings, they'll find all the money that the Kenainim had hidden in the walls. But the din of Tzaraz Batim only applies if the house is rectangular in shape. If it's round, there's no din of Tzaraz Batim. Rav Zalman Valojina says that's what the Meraglim were complaining. You're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be round houses. You ain't going to find any money in the buildings. May as well stay here in the Midbar. You're not going to strike it rich if you go to Eretz Yisrael. So he suggested maybe that's the kavan of this Rashi. What is Rashi commenting that the Targum says Krichon? Pashav Krichon means gigantic cities. You'll never succeed in winning the war, gigantic city. So Rashi says, Agulois, he meant that there won't be a din of Tzaraz Batim, you're not going to strike it rich. Then the Pasuk says, Vayas Kolobis Ha'om El Moshe, he got everybody to keep quiet, Has, keep still. And he says, Alon Alevi Rashi Ki Nochol Nuchalot. So Rashi quotes, Rashi has a famous lashon. Vayas Kolev, Hishtik Haskum, got them all to be quiet. He fooled them into believing that he's going to make a negative comment about Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he said a positive comment. What did he say? Sovach v'yomah, he screamed out and he said, "B'chizu belvad osalona ben Amram." That's the only thing that Ben Amram did for us. So everybody thought, "Hashemeya hayasovah shebolasape b'gnuso." He's going to say more obvious than Moshe Rabbeinu said. And then mitoch shehaya believer ma Moshe, they were all angry at Moshe, so they wanted to hear what other obvious he did. So they all kept still. And then he said, "Aye, Moshe Rabbeinu did kriyas yamsuf and makas b'chayrus, and he did all the nisim and avlos." We should listen to everything that he said. So So there's a famous comment. My father, Zechan Aruch, always used to say this over there, attributed to the author of the Nesivos, that why did Kolev say the Chizul Bavad Asalana Ben Amram? What kind of a Loshem Ben Amram? So the Nesivos said, if you don't like a person, then you don't call him by his first name, you call him by his last name. If you like him, so then you call him by his first name. So when he said Chizul Bavad Asalana Ben Amram, so they thought that he's going to say something negative. If he would have said Chizul Bavad Asalana Moshe, so it means that he likes him. So the Nesivos said that that's the pshat in the Haftarah of Machal Chodesh. It says David didn't show up 2 days in a row to the Sudas for Chodesh. So Shaul HaMelech asks his son Yoinasan, Madua loy bo ben Yishai hayom el alechem gam tmol gam hayom. How come ben Yishai didn't come? Because he didn't like David. He didn't like David. So then Yoinasan answers back that Shaul Shami Mani David. David asked me whether he can go to the family function, and I gave him permission to go. So Shaul gets furious. I know that you like David. How does he know that he likes David? So the Nesivos said, because Shaul HaMelech called him Ben Yishai, and Yonason called him David. So you call him David means that you like him. If you would dislike him like I hate him, so you would have also called him Ben Yishai. That's a word from the Nesivos, based on the Psukim in Tanakh, and based on this Rashi HaKadosh. And the pasuk says that all the people were crying. Look, what a disaster! Yitzias Mitzrayim was a disaster. They want to go back. Nitnarosh v'nashuvah Mitzrayim. That's what Nitnarosh v'nashuvah Mitzrayim. The Gemara says Nitnarosh has a connotation of worshiping Avodah Zarah. That's how the Gemara's tradition was. Ephes Chazukum Imenu. They're stronger than the Rabbanim Shlomo. And Nitnarosh means they want to worship Avodah Zarah. And that's what the Ramban says, the Hemshech and the Parsha about the Chattas Avodah Zarah. So the Pasuk says that they would cry. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem Chisem Chir Shalchinim, Ani Yak Vadachem Chir Ledoiris. That day was Tisha B'Av, and the Meragim came back, and Kadosh Baruch Hu declared at that time that it's going to be the day of Churban Beis HaMikdash. So that Grada doesn't say explicitly in the Chumash, it says that explicitly in the Novi Yecheskel and in Tehillim. It says, when the Meragim came back and everybody was crying, Kadosh Baruch Hu told them, I'm going to punish you, I'm going to send you into Golus, and I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Chumash it doesn't say. So that's what the Netziv has a comment in his commentary on the Parsha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chai Oni, Yolom Chai Oni, it's in Pasuk Chof Aleph, in Perek Yud Dalet, Yolom Chai Oni, Hashem swears by his life, Imalich Vod Hashem, as Kol Ha'oretz. What does that mean? Imalich Vod Hashem as Kol Ha'oretz. So the Netziv thinks that what it means is, perhaps what it means is, I'm going to send the Jews into Golus to make a Kiddush Hashem all over the world. That's the pasuk that says what it says in Yecheskel and in Tehillim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said on that occasion that he's going to send the Jewish people into Golus. That's going to be the punishment. So the Gemara has a famous comment. There were 12 Meraglim, and 2 gave a good report, and 10 gave a negative report. So the Eidah Hara refers to the 10 people. So we establish from this pasuk that a minyan for Davish B'Kedusha needs 10 people. Why? Because the word Eidah here has the connotation of 10, because 2 Meraglim gave a good report, and the other pasuk says V'Nekdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael, and the other pasuk says B'soch Adas B'nei Yisrael. So you see that the word Toch has the connotation of Eida, and Eida has the connotation of 10. That's how I know that the Davish B'Kedusha needs 10 people. Then the Gemara, the Mishnah, first Mishnah in Sanhedrin, establishes that a Sanhedrin for the purpose of Dina Nefosha needs 23 members, because it says V'shoftehu Eida V'hitzilehu Eida in the end of Chumash Bamidbar. So Eida Shafetes V'Eida Matzelis, you need 10 Dayanim to say Potter, theoretical possibility of tender yom to say potter from Isa, the Yitzilu Eidah, and the theoretical possibility of tender yom to say Vishavta Eidah, that is Chayv Misa, that's going to be a tie. If it's 10 against 10, it's going to be a tie. So you have to have Ein Bezen Shokul in order to break the tie. So you have to have 21. But if you only have 10 say Chayv, 10 say potter, and one says potter, so the Roiv of Echad is good enough to potter from Misa. But in order to be Mechayv Misa, it's not good enough a Roiv of Echad. So you need a Roiv of Shnayim. See, but you can't have a Bezen of 22 because then Bezen Shokol may have a split vote. So that's how we establish the requirement for a Bezen of 23. It's all based on this premise that Eida means 10. Yeah. And Moshe Feinstein says, there's a Chuvas HaRambam that the Behetiv quotes. And at the end of Hilchas Pesukah de Zimra, it says the Chazan says Kaddish, and then he says Baruch Hu. So the Shulchan Aruch dedicates a whole siman who is mitzarev to a minyan in order to be able to say Kaddish, in order to say Baruch Hu, because the Mishnah Megillah says that Dovah Shabikadusha needs a minyan of Asar. So the Behetav over there quotes the Chuvas HaRambam from the Peir Ador. Those are supposed to be authentic Chuvas, that the Rambam says that an Apikoris is Dina Kinochri, and a Nochri is not mitzarev to a minyan. So Moshe Feinstein somehow ignores this Chuvas HaRambam. He doesn't refer to it. He brings the right that an apikoros is mitzdarv to a minyan, because the Chazal say that the meraglim were apikorsim, because it said kechazuku mimeno. They were kofrim. They didn't believe that God had power. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, Eidu. The Gemara learns out that Eidu, the 10 people are mitzdarv to the minyan from the 10 of the meraglim. So you see, an apikoros dina kakam doesn't affect the minyan. He is mitzdarv to the minyan. We usually assume you just learned that Eidah, that you need 10 people, but you're not saying that the Meraglim would have been mitzarev to a minyan. But it's an interesting haloi dovahu. How come they're learning out from the Meraglim? It is strange. You're learning out that a dovah should be kedusha needs 10 people from the fact that the 10 Meraglim. Mm-hmm. Possibility is that at that time, after Yitzias Mitzrayim on the way to Eretz, none of them had visited Eretz Yisrael. Not like today, everybody visits Eretz Yisrael 5 times a year. No one had visited Eretz Yisrael. They were all born in Mitzrayim. It was a few centuries since there was a Jew who visited Eretz Yisrael. And the Ikat Siruf of Klal Yisrael is the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And now the only 12 people who had visited Eretz Yisrael were 12 Meraglim. They were there. So the whole idea of a minyan is that Siruf of Klal Yisrael, the 10 people represent the whole Klal Yisrael. Really, Dovah Shebikadusha, you need all of Klal Yisrael. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, but you need 10 people represent the whole Klal Yisrael. So I thought that maybe that's why the Gemara wanted to learn that from the Meraglim. At that time, the Meraglim were the only people who had stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, the Gemara learns that from this pasuk, Amasaleida Haruazois. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to punish them, so the 10 Meraglim died. What does it mean, choyu? So the Gemara says, choyu means that they got their chelek in Eretz Yisrael. That the 10 Meraglim died, they lost their share in Eretz Yisrael. They were punished, they don't get a share. You don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael? We're not going to give you a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And the two, Yeshua B'Kolu, gave the... Does mean choyu survived? They divided the share of the 10 Meraglim who were punished. So Yeshua Lekolev got their share. The Medrash has such a lotion on a tzaddikim gedolim habo, and Rishoyim lose olam habo. So the tzaddikim are not chelka v'chelak chaveru. He gets a share in olam habo that he deserves, and he gets a chelak that the Rosha lost. So that's such a comment the Gemara makes over here. Choyah means not only that they survived, they got their chelak in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Parsha has about the Mapilim. They decided they wanted to do tshuva and they want to go fight the Eretz. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Al talu kein asher bekir bechem. You will not succeed in conquering Eretz Yisrael if the Shechina is not with you." Apparently, in 1948, if they won the war, Mechemet HaShechror, apparently the Shechina was with them. A lot of them were not religious at all, but apparently the Shechina was with them. The pasuk says that the Shechina is not with you, you will not succeed in conquering Eretz Yisrael. Russia can take over Hungary, can take over Ukraine. They don't need the Shechina to be with them. That's the history of the world. They have wars and people win the wars. But Bnei Yisrael, to win Eretz Yisrael, that's at this something ruchniyazdik. That's the mekadesh of the Eretz Yisrael. So it's not going to work unless you have the Shechina with you. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam gives a din that only applies kisavoy al Eretz Moshe Asecha Mashani Nosein Lachem, and you bring a korban asisa misha l'Hashem loyla. You should bring minchas in this kain. You have to bring in conjunction with the karbonis minchas nesochim and yayin. Usually a mincha you do a kmitza and you burn the kaimitz on the mizbech and the shiori haminchas nechal to the zichri kuhuna in the azora kochi kochim and minchas nesochim, the mincha that comes in conjunction with the nesochim, you burn the whole thing. You don't do any kmitza. You burn the whole thing. So the Gemara says in Chagig, in the first parak, this din of Menachos and Nesachim didn't apply in the Midbar. It says, "Beferish kisavoy alaretz Moshe v'asecha mashani nosein lachem and v'asisa misha l'Hashem oylo." Then you bring Menachos and Nesachim. So it's obvious from the Chumash that this din didn't apply in the Midbar. The Gemara in the first parak in Chagig there has a machlokes about the korban tamid. Were they makrif to meet him in the Midbar, or were they not makrif to meet him in the Midbar? So the Gemara says, the Chumash describes the Korban Tamid, you have to bring Menachos and Nesachim, but Menachos and Nesachim only begin after enter Eretz Yisrael. So what are you going to tell me? They brought the Tamid, Shal Shachat Tamid Shavein Abayim in the Midbar without Menachos and Nesachim, and then it didn't change when they came to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, that's strange to assume like that. So since the Pasuk sounds like it says, that Menachos Nesachim only begins when you come to Eretz Yisrael, so you get the impression that the Korban Tamid only began when they came to Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara says, no, it's a machlokes hatanaim beferish. Olas Tamid Ho'asiyo b'har Sinai. What do you mean? Olas Tamid Ho'asiyo b'har Sinai. That's what it says in Parashas HaTamid. It says Ho'asiyo b'har Sinai means that it was korev, or it was just told to them in Har Sinai. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. So half of the Tanaim claim that the Korban Tamid was brought on Hasina, was continued to be brought all along. So it's not a hechrech, the Gemara said. This is not a conclusive proof. Just because in the Midbar they brought the Tamid without Menachos and Nesachim, then they changed it. We assume we're learning Perek HaBlezer the Mila now. So we assume that that's how Bris Mila began, from the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when he was given, the Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Perek Gidol Nasha, that we today observe the mitzvah of Mila not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. He was a Navi, and the other Navi, only get a Hayruah Shor. The only Navi who was given Dinam Ledoris was Moshe Rabbeinu. So the fact that we still continue to observe the mitzvah of Mila today, because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was given, Zos HaTor Lo Seim Mochlefes. A Navu is a Hayruah Shor. That can change. That's only of a temporary nature. But Moshe Rabbeinu was given Torah mitzvah. But then the din of Mila changed. The Gemara says that Lanitna Priya, until the days of Yishuv Benun. Avraham Avinu didn't have Priya, Moshe Avinu didn't have Priya. So Tosfos on the first daf in Ha'orel, towards the end of Maseches Yevamos, Tosfos asked the Kasha, how can it be? How did they believe Yishuv Benun when he said that the Ribbono Shel Olam changed his mind and from now on you have to do Priya? The Pasuk says, Ela mitzvah such as Shiva Hashem as Moshe, only the mitzvahs are binding Lidurus that were given to Moshe Abenu. No Navi before or after Moshe Abenu can change anything Moshe Rabbeinu said, or can give a din that's binding the Doiras. So Tosfos asks Takasha, how can Yishuv Benun come and change the halacha and declare that you need, in addition to cutting off the Or HaOrlo, you have to take care of the Priya too, cut off the thinner membrane that's on the bottom. So Tosfos says, because they don't know. Tosfos says, there must have been a halacha la Moshe Messina. Moshe Rabbeinu must have told them that the day will come, that a Navi will come and tell you that you have to do Priya also. So there were dinim that would change. There were dinim that would change. So that's what the Gemara says over here. It's not such a murderous kasha. Oilas Tamid Hasei B'Har Sinai. There was an Oilas Tamid in the Midbar from the days of Maimon HaSinai on, and all the 40 years in the Midbar, they never brought Menachos and Nesachim on the Oilas Tamid. Even on the parsha, as it was given, it says about Mincha and Nesach. And it didn't change when they entered Eretz Yisrael. That's all what Moshe Rabbeinu said. This din is going to change. We spoke about the various dinim that changed. Because Ham wasn't changed. The Gemara says when the month came down, Moshe Rabbeinu composed the nusach of the first bracha Zaras HaKol. Then Yishuv Benun composed the second bracha Nodelcha on Eretz Yisrael. Because it says Vechalta v'suvata brachta shem al kecha al ha'oretz. So you have to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the food, And Al Ha'aretz is another bracha, and Hatoiva is on Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim has two aspects to it. Yerushalayim has the capital of Eretz Yisrael, political capital of the political entity of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim has the Makam HaMikdash. So the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar only composed the first bracha. When Yeshua ben Nun succeeded in conquering Eretz Yisrael, he composed the second bracha, Nor Delcha Al Ha'aretz Al Ha'mazim. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for delivering. True, Eretz Yisrael already belonged to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu. He made the Kenyan, but we didn't have it b'poel mamish till Yeshua ben Nun conquered the land. He composed the second bracha. And then, when David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the capital, he composed the third bracha. And then the Gemara says, when Shlomo HaMelech established the Beis HaMikdash, he added on to the third bracha, because you have to say, Berachtos Hashem Elokecha Al Ha'aretz HaToivah. Al Ha'aretz goes on Eretz Yisrael, and HaToivah refers to Yerushalayim. Ha'or HaToivah Hazeh V'Halavonah. And the two aspects of Yerushalayim. So you have certain mitzvahs changed over the years. But this was all told to Moshe Rabbeinu that the mitzvahs are going to change. And then the ksav of the Sefer Torah changed from ksav Ivri to ksav Ashuris. That was also told. Moshe Rabbeinu told them that it's Mishnah HaTorah Zos, it's ksav Sheosed L'Hishtanas. Ksav is going to change. The Rambam writes, the end of Hilchas Malachim, the only din that Moshe Rabbeinu said is going to change and it still didn't change is about how many Ori Miklat. That originally Moshe Rabbeinu made three, and then he said the three didn't function until Yeshua ben Nun designated the other three. So you have six Ori Miklat that function. And Lo Sidlobi Kiyach V'Sham Lakech Az Gavulcha V'Yasafta Lecha Od Shalosh Alim Od Shalosh Arim Ala Shalosh Ha'ila. You add another three Ori Miklat. So that has yet to be fulfilled, and we will expand the Eretz Yisrael to include also Eretz Kenik Nizik Hadmanis. So the Rambam writes, that's the only mitzvah that's still going to change based on the Vos Moshe Rabbeinu. So there were several mitzvahs that already did change, the Ksaba, the Sefer Torah, and the Menachas and the Sochem, and the Nusach HaBirchus HaMazim. There were certain things that changed, but it was all told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the Pasuk says that this mitzvah of Menachas and the Sochem in conjunction with the Korban doesn't only apply to Ezrach b'Yisrael, a person who is born a Jew, Chayag Gritchem Ger, also has the exact same din, and it says, Torachas v'mishpatecha yolachem v'agir agar itchem. So the Pasuk uses the term mishpat in conjunction with a ger. So the Gemara has a drasha, Ager tzorach shloshem mishpat tzidbei. When you convert a non-Jew to become Jewish, he has to convey. It can't be Nizgar ben Ola ben Atzma. A fellow comes and says, Nizgayarte ben Ila ben Atzma, even if you believe that it's true. But the whole Geris is not Chal. Let's say a man is Mekadosh and Isha ben Ola ben Atzma. There were no Edis Likim Adam. So the Gemara says it's not Chal. Afilu hu vehi moidim. He and she both admit that they're married. He can marry her sister and she can marry someone else. They're not married. You need Edis Likim Adam. So by Ger also, the Ger says, Nizgayarte ben Ila ben Atzmi, I was toivel in the mikveh, had kabbalas on me. He doesn't have to keep Shabbos, he's not Jewish. The Geris is simply not valid. You need a bezdin l'kiyam adover. So the Gemara learns it off in the Pasuk, mishpat ksivbe, gerach tzorach shlosha mishpat ksivbe. We mentioned the kasha from Rabbi Shua Lakutna. Shua Lakutna lived the late 1800s. He was one of the three Geonim who signed on the Et HaMechira. Next year is the Shnas HaShmitah, so everybody's talking about the Et HaMechira. Et Mechira started in the 1600s by the Sfaradish Gedolim who lived in Eretz. So there were no Ashkenazim, there were only Sfaradim. So the Sfaradish Gedolim came up with this Et Mechira. And then in the late 1800s, when the Jews, the religious Jews, started moving into Eretz Yisrael, so the first Shemitah that they lived there, Maskeret Batya, that was the kibbutz that was sponsored by Baron Rothschild. He paid all the money to have the families move to Eretz Yisrael. They came from Lithuania, Litvisha, from a Balabatim. He said he's going to pay for 10 families to go. And then he sent his shliach to the train station to make sure that everything goes right. And then he comes to the train station, there were 12, the 12 people. So he said the baron only agreed to pay for 10. So they said they need a minion. What if one day someone's going to have a cold? He won't come to shul. It won't be a minion. So the representative of the baron said that's reasonable. He paid for the 12 people. They moved to Eretz Yisrael. And then after they started working on the kibbutz, then their wives and their children came from Europe. And the baron came and he visited it and he saw they were very nice. Every morning they would sit and learn. It's before Daf Yomi was instituted. But they would sit and learn. They would daven every morning and sit and learn. Then they went to do the work. He was very impressed, so he gave them permission to use his mother's name on the kibbutz. They called it Maskeret Batya. Her name was Beatrice, but her Yiddish name was Batya, so they called it Maskeret Batya. He gave permission to use the name because they were so from. I think that Moshav now is not Shemesh Shabbos. They don't observe Shemitah now. They don't observe anything now. It's unfortunate. So the first couple of years, they used to send all the shaylos to, they used to correspond to their rabbanim in Europe. And then, when they had a shaylah on a chicken, a shaylah hilchos Shabbos, they can't wait till they get a response from Europe. So they started asking their rabbanim in Yerushalayim, from the Padats, from the Eidah Haredis. And then when it's coming to Shemitah, so they asked them, what should we do Shemitah? So they said, you're not allowed to have a het mechira, there is no such thing. So they, okay. No het mechira. The rabbanim in Europe didn't realize that they had already asked about that. They were worried, what's going to be when it comes Shemitah? The rabbanim in Europe, Shmuel Molliver and Rabbi Shula Kutna, and the third one was he was a dying in Warsaw, his name was Klepfish. One of his descendants, Klepfish, got smicha from the yeshiva. He's a lawyer. He used to be a professor of law. He's retired now. So and his father was a Talmud Chacham. So these three worked on the het mechira. They wrote it up, and then they wrote the maskim had the mechir. If they sell the land to an Arab, they can do the work, provided Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan will agree. So Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan, the whole thing was based on the tshuva from the 1600s. So Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan said he wants to see the sefer. So they borrowed it from some library somewhere, and they sent it to Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan. He saw inside the tshuva there was mater. So he was maskim lahater. Anyway, so this Rabbi Shula Kutna, he was the rabbi in Kutna. So he... He was one of the great Goyim of that time. So he's bothered with this kasha. He has two kashas. What do you mean, Gertzal Shlosh and Mishpak Sibbe? The Gemara learns, I have Sefer Chosh Mishpat. That's called Yeshua Sisrael. His name was Yehoshua. But the Sefer is called Yeshua Sisrael. A strong Sefer Chosh Mishpat. So he has in one simen, Minilav Hilchas Dayanim, he has a whole paragraph. He's bothered with two kashas. One kasha is, all the dinim of Geras are patterned after Maimon Hasina. At Maimon Hasina, we don't have any record that there was any Bezin. How could there be a Bezin? The whole Klal Yisrael were converting. Who's going to be the Bezin? It was the Geras of all the Klal Yisrael. Mom says you learn that you need Mila, and you need Tvila, and you need a carbon, and you need Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah, Nasa and Ishma. There was no Bezin. So how can Rabbi Yechanan come up with the Chiddush Geras Al Shlosh and Mishpat Sibbeh? Maimon Hasina, there was no Bezin. Then he was bothered with another Kasha. Maybe you should learn that from Maimon Hasina. Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah means a commitment, a contract between the Ger and the Rabbanu Shalom. The Ger promises to keep the Mitzvah, and the Rabbanu Shalom promises to give Schar V'Yonesh. So maybe you should learn that from Maimon Hasina can only have Kabbalah's Ger when there's a Gilui Shechina. There was a Gilui Shechina, Maimon Hasina. So how did the Chazal know that you have a right to be Mekabel a Ger if you're not so sure whether the Shechina is there? Maybe you need a Gilui Shechina. So he writes a Shtigl Torah. One kasha is for Remfe by the other. He says, I've seen it because it was a Gilu Shechina. So the Shechina was there and the Ger is there. So the two parties are there. So they make a contract between them. And Ledoiris, if you're not going to have a Gilu, if you have a Gilu Shechina, you won't need a Bezin. But Ledoiris, if you won't have a Gilu Shechina, then you need a Bezin to represent the Shechina. Elakim Nitzal Badas Kel. That's how the Shir Shal Yom starts on Tuesday morning. Elakim Nitzal Badas Kel. Whenever you have a Bezin, so the Shechina's there. That's his suggestion. So some rabbis have the attitude, 80 kiddushin don't have to. What if the 80 kiddushin don't think it's a good shidduch? Who cares if they think it's a good shidduch? The boy gives a ring to the girl, says, "Hari amikudash yisrael," in the presence of two edim. They don't have to think into it whether they think it is a good shidduch or a bad shidduch. They're watching the way he says, "Hari amikudash," he gives her the ring. Edus lekimado. That's what many have the attitude. They're bezdin on geirus. They just watch. It's a bezin l'kima davar. They don't have to stick in their two cents. No one's asking for their opinion. It's a din of edus l'kima davar. Here it's a din of bezin l'kima davar. The way the Rabbi Shua Lukutin says, it's not so. The bezin represents the shechina, and you have to have the consent of the both parties. It's a contract. So just like the Rabbanu Shalom agreed to accept B'nai Yisrael, atem tevli malachas kanya v'goy kodesh, you have the das of the both parties. So you need... The Bezna has to agree to be Mekabel a Ger. They have to decide. Does it make sense that this person should become a Ger? Do we want to accept him? Because they're representing the Shechina. Beis HaLevi has such a similar idea also in his commentary on Chumash. he says differently. He says when a ger converts, he has to say Amechami v'elokai chalaka. Amechami means he has to join the Jewish people. So the Jewish people have to decide whether we want to accept him or not. So we need a bezin to represent the Jewish people. Rabbi Shmuel Kutin says the bezin represents the Shechina, but they have to give an assessment of the situation. We representing the Shechina agree to accept you, to make a contract with you. The Beis Halevi says we representing Klal Yisrael agree to accept you. When you say Amechami, we are in agreement. But the bezin has to agree. See, that's the Shaila. Let's say sometimes a couple does not have children, so they adopt. So you have to have a bezin. So the father, who the adopting father, sometimes let's say the adopting father has smicha. He wants to adopt a baby. So can he serve as a member of the bezin? He's not a relative. He's adopting the child. He's not a father. So we don't do that. Even though the father is not a korban, even if the father has smicha, so usually you have three rabbonim do the geiris. Even if the adoptive father has smicha, we don't have him serve as a member of the bezin because he's really an eger bedover. He adopted this child, so it's in his interest. He wants the child to be Jewish. Doesn't want to have a non-Jewish child running around the house. So he's an eger bedover. But the question is, what do you mean eger bedover? An eger is puzzle. When you have a bezin, has to make a hachra. They have to decide a question. So, or let's say an eger is puzzle a edus, because he may give edus sheker because of his negi. He's interested in this result. Or the negeis pasul is serve as a dayan, he has to make a hachro. But if it's just, it's bezin just like kiyam adaver, there's no hachro. It's not a question, does he have the manas? Well, what is it I have the manas about? It's just, well, you need a bezin of three watching, so he's watching. The answer is no. According to Rabbi Shul Lekutna, according to the Beis Halevi, the bezin does make a hachro. Either representing the Rabbanu Shel Olam to say, I agree to get into a contract with this individual, or they're representing Klal Yisrael to agree that they're accepting this fellow who wants to join on to Klal Yisrael. That's a chiddush. Rabbi Shmuel Kutna, he has a chiddush. He says, let's say three rabbanim are sitting on the beach, whatever, reading the New York Times, and then a goy says, I'm going to jump into the ocean, I want to be Megayer, and you're the bezin. And they say, don't bother us. Go get someone else, we're not interested. And he jumps into the lake, and he's Tevel Hashem Geris. Is that acceptable or not? So he quotes, there's a Machlek Yisachreinim, let's say the bezin has hours from 10 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. So it's 5 to 3, and there's no business, so they are bottom of the bezin. They put on their hats and their coats, and they're ready to leave. A guy comes in and he says, I want to give a Haggadah Seydis now. So they say, come tomorrow, don't bother us. He says, no, I'm going to give the Haggadah Seydis whether you like it. And he says over the whole story, who killed Shimon, whatever. So is that acceptable? The bezin didn't want to accept the Yedis. Can the Eidim give a testimony about Korchim Shal HaBezin? So that's a machlekes in Chosh Mishpah. So Rabbi Shmuel Kutna says, even if you should assume that you can give a Haggadah Seydis about Korchim Shal HaBezin, but a ger cannot convert Bal Korchim Shal HaBezin. It brings a rai from a Gemara, an interesting rai from the Gemara. You have to have midaiton. And then he explains, of course you have to have midaiton, because the bezin represents the Shechina. So they have input. It's not just Lakiyam Adova. They have input. They have to declare, we accept you as a ger. We feel that you're fit, a proper candidate to become a ger.
Last year, we talked about Chris Bachol, where we gave the Moshe, the guy coming up, saying Shir Shirim, and Ben Ash Moshe, so going into Shabbos, but then I even pay him Bal Korcho of the Malva. Does that be Talizah?
The Gemara says Piran Achai Bal Korcho is good.
So,
no, Piran Achai is good. They say, I come, I owe him $1,000, and I pay him in pennies. And he's screaming, I don't want pennies, give me a check. I gave you a check for $100,000, give me back a check. I say, no, and I give sacks of pennies. So Gemara says, Pari Zuza Zuza, Abi Piran, Piran Bal Korcho is good. The Piran Achayiv has to take place in at least the same degree of security as the Halvot took place. That's a Gemara. If I pay back the money in a circumstance that's not secure, then that by definition it's not called Piran. But if it's inconvenient, there's a guy ready, went to Mikveh, and he's all dressed up for Shabbos, and he has an hour yet to go to Shabbos. And I give him all the money, and every Shabbos he has to go to the bank. And he says, give me the money after Havdol. I said, that's not... that's not that the money was not given in a secure fashion. It's given in an inconvenient fashion. So then the Gemara says, Piran Bal Karchish Mei Piran.
Why shouldn't this Chagat HaZedus be, it should be Bal Korchim of the Dayanim, it should be, because it was during their hours and everything. So the Gemara is given Chagat HaZedus, so it should, he should be allowed to.
No, that's a Machlokes Achrayim and Chosh HaMishpo, whether Chagat HaZedus means Bezdin is Mekabalaitis. Usually I would have thought Bezdin is Mekabalaitis. Bezdin says, we don't want to accept your testimony, so you're not Mekabalaitis. So this year, B'Shuva Lekutin says, he'll adopt, I don't remember if he takes a stand on that. He just said, even if you should adopt a position that you can give Haggadah Seidus Bal Korcham, you don't require Bezin to accept the Eidus. The Eidus can be given Bal Korcham Shel HaBezin, but a Ger cannot be Megar Bal Korcham Shel HaBezin. And then he says, why with this whole shtickle Torah, with the two kashas, Chodah B'Chavah to Mitarz. He was a big guy. He has one of his other Svarim, that's in his Sefer Yeshuas Yisrael. He has other Svarim. One of the other Svarim, he has a Charifas. How come the three Ori Miklot that Moshe Rabbeinu designated weren't koilet until Yeshua Ben Nun designated the other three? So the Pasha Pshat, Rashi, I think on Chumash Dvarim has that. He quotes the Gemara like that in Makkah. So the Pasha Pshat is either six or nothing. That's the Pasha Pshat. Yeah, but we're going to have another three Losed Lovers. So how come, why don't you say it's nine or nothing? No, that's a Kiyacha Hashem HaKechus Gebulcha. Add on another two. But it's either six or nothing. You can't have three, but you can have six without the other three. Yeah, that's the Pashup Shat. So Rabbi Shmuel Lekutin has a Charifas. He says, no. He says, Ori Miklat's only Noyig in Eretz Yisrael. There are no Ori Miklat in Chutz La'aretz. So when Moshe Rabbeinu conquered Sichon V'Yoh, he gave her a Yarden, it didn't yet have Kedusha Sa'aretz. That's a question. What's the nature of Kedusha Sichon V'Yoh? Abraham Yarden, is it B'toris HaRotzos HaNasofos L'Eretz Yisrael? The Pasuk says at the end of Parshas Ekev, I think, Kol Mokam Shatidrach Kach Ra'ulchem Bo Lechem Nesativ. So the Ramban over there, on the closing, I think it's the last Pasuk in Ekev. Ramban there quotes the Sifrei. Next to the last Pasuk, Kol Mokam Shatidrach, Kol Mokam is Mar Ba'afila B'chutz L'Eretz. That if the Jewish army is Kovish areas and Chutz La'aretz, they can endow it with Kedushas Ha'aretz. That's called Aratzas HaNasafas. So the Tesis writes in the first Perek in Gitna, on the Avches, a famous Tesis, that when David HaMelech conquered Syria, it was a Kibush Yochid. What do you mean Kibush Yochid? So Rashi says he didn't plan to divide it among all Shvat. And Tesis says that's not relevant. That's not what it means. Kibush Yochid means he didn't have the approval of the Bez Nagorl. Why did the Bez Nagorl approve? Because he didn't conquer all of Eretz Yisrael yet. What is he going? Tesis there in Gittin Davches quotes this Sifrei that the Ramban quotes at the end of Parshat Sekev. Kol Mokim, Aratzas HaNasafas. So Kedushas Aratzas HaNasafas is like you fill up with wine and then you keep on pouring till it overflows. So first you have to fill up all of Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. When all of Eretz Yisrael is Niskadosh, then the Kedusha can overflow and be Mekadosh HaRatzos HaNasafas. The Pashta says, Rav Soloveitchik said, let's say if you all kibush yochid, shmei kibush. So kibush has to be with blood and sweat and tears. You have to kill people. You have to have a war. He said, I bought my home in Boston. So that's also kibush. Don't have to do kibush by killing, by having a war. So if you all kibush yochid, shmei kibush, so my house in Boston has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. They said, no, it has to be contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. If the Jewish army is going to conquer someplace in Siberia, but they didn't conquer everything in between in Eretz Yisrael and Siberia, so then it won't be Niskadosh B'Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Kedushas HaRatzos HaNasafas is B'toris, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is all filled up, and then the Kedusha overflows because you're all full. So the Kedusha overflows to the HaRatzos HaNasafas that are contiguous. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel Lekutin writes, the three in Eivra Yarden weren't koilet because Eivra Yarden didn't have Kedusha yet in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. First they had to endow Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. After Eretz Yisrael had Kedusha, then Eivra Yarden became Kodesh by Kedusha as Eretz Yisrael. And then the Ori Miklat can be koilet because Ori Miklat, they're only koilet in Eretz Yisrael. So this is a question, but Eretz Yisrael didn't get Kedusha until after the first 14 years. You had to have Kibush V'chiluk. Ori Miklat were koilet immediately. They didn't have to wait till the year number 15. So what does he mean? So the answer is no. In today's Parsha, in Parsha Shlach, it says, V'hoi b'vayachem al ha'oretz. there's a chiv to be mafrish chalom. The vayachem el haaretz, the Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Ksubis, daf chav dal, mishuna biyazu. Here it says, usually it says, kisavay el haaretz. Kisavay means after kibush v'chiluk. It says in Sefer Yehoshua, it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, for nalamed aleph malachim. And then the Gemara says, at the end of Erechim, they had an oral tradition, a historical tradition, that just like it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz, so it took 7 years to do the chalukah haaretz. So the chalukah was the Gemara HaKibush. So that was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael with respect to Trumas and Mises, Shemitah V'yayla, Lektri, Kropeya. But Chala is also only Noig in Eretz Yisrael that has Kedushas Ha'aretz. And here the Chazal say, B'vayachem, Mishunah B'yazul, B'vayachem. When they came in right away, Miyad Neschai V'b'chala. So you see that there was a Kedushas Ha'aretz of B'schala right away. The Kedusha B'negeh to Trumas and Mises, Shemitah V'yayla, the majority of the Mitzvah Satlis Ba'aretz only said it after the Kibush V'chiluk. But there was one aspect of Kedushas Ha'aretz that set in immediately. So that's why Rabbi Shmuel Kutner says that the three Ari Miklat that Moshe Rabbeinu designated didn't begin to function until after they entered Eretz Yisrael, and they were Mekadosh at the first level of Kedusha. And then it's not because all six are Makom Zeza. He doesn't think that that's the Pshat. He thinks because it doesn't have an Ari Miklat, they're only Koilet in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Ari Miklat in Chutz Lortz. So it didn't have a Kedushas Ha'aretz at all. Abayan couldn't get Kedusha Ha'aretz until Eretz Yisrael is going to get Kedusha. Then the Kedusha can spill over. So that's why. That's why they had a way.
I always thought Ari Miklat were... I understand the feeling of Ari Miklat when you have a beast and then has Rishus to give a death penalty. Because you compare Misa by other things to Chai, it's when you give a shogi for when you have a death penalty for killing someone.
Mm-hmm.
So, Basin couldn't give a death penalty to the Israel.
But they gave the death penalty to the Mekoshesh and to the Sedra? The Gemara just has a discussion. Was it a Hayra Shoah? Because they didn't know Be'ezim Misa. So that's a Machalekis HaTanoim. When you give a Hasra, is it enough if he say, don't be Machal Shabbos, he's going to give you the death penalty? Or do you have to give Hasra Mefuret? It's Be'ezim Misa, he'll be Chayim Misa. So that's, depending on that machlekes, will determine whether the death penalty that the Mekoshesh got was a Hayrashah. The Megadeh, if it was a Hayrashah, because they didn't know whether he's Chayv Misa. They weren't told it did. Here, the Mekoshesh, they knew Chalei Mosiomis, but they didn't know Be'ezim Misa. So that's a machlekes HaTanai, whether the death penalty of the Mekoshesh was a Hayrashah or a real Din Lederis. But you see, only issue with Hayrashah, Be'ezim Misa. But there was no problem that they weren't in Eretz Yisrael.
Can you say that you can't have a beast in Chutz La'aretz have a shush to give a death penalty unless it's a beast in Eretz Yisrael that does?
The Mishnah says in the end of the first parak of Makkos, you can have a beast in Chutz La'aretz if they got smicha in Eretz Yisrael. You can't confer smicha in Chutz La'aretz. And then there's a Gemara that says you can't the beast of Chav Gimel for Din and Fashas purposes you need a Sanhedrin Tana. One big system, one big court system. So if you don't have Sanhedrin Gdoila, Yoshim Bim Kaimam, if the Sanhedrin Agdoila is not in the Lishkas Hagazis, the last 40 years when the Sanhedrin was Golso from the Lishkas Hagazis, so Batla Din and Nefashis Mi Yisrael, because it has to be one big court system. For Din Torah, for Din Imaminus, it doesn't have to be one court system. You put together three Dayanim who have Smicha. If a Dira Defoshes, it only has the status of a Sanhedrin Tana, if you have a Sanhedrin Gdoila, but here there already was a Sanhedrin Gdoila. Either Moshe Rabbeinu was B'mokamayin Aleph Koi, or they in Baha'u L'Oischa established a Sanhedrin Gdoila. So they had some kind of a Sanhedrin Gdoila in the Midbar. Then the Gemara has another din, you can only give the death penalty B'zman Sheyesh Koyin Oyved, based on another pasuk. You have to have Kohanim Makruv Karbonis and the Beis Hamikdash. They had the Mishkan. They were being makruv karbonos. You had both. In the 1500s, when they wanted to renew the smicha, in order to give malchus, because many people had worshipped Avodah Zarah at the time of the Spanish expulsion, the Spanish Inquisition, so they killed Spanish Inquisition. They were killing anyone who wasn't going to convert. So many people gave their lives, many people converted to Christianity. And then when things got a little better, so they felt awful. They felt that the chayv karis. Because Yehori Bal Yaver, the Rambam says, if you worship Avodah Zarah to save your life, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, you have to feeling neutral is tamshecha, but you mevatel a mitzvah, you're not chayav misa. You're not chayav misa for worshiping Avodah Zarah if you did it to save your life. That's ba'inus. So the Rambam holds you're not chayav misa, but the Kesef Mishnah quotes that there were other Rishonim who disagreed, who held that you are chayav misa, because the Pikuach Nefesh doesn't apply by Avodah Zarah, so they were chayav misa. So they felt bad, they felt a chayav kore, so they wanted, and the Mishnah says in the third parak in Makkos, that kol chayav kriyusa shalaku niftaru midei kriyusam. If you get Malkus, then you put them. So they wanted, that was one of the considerations, that was one of the reasons why they wanted to have chidush asmicha, in order to establish a bez, then in order to give Malkus to all the people that worshipped Avodah Zarah. And a lot of these people, a lot of the Spanish Jews who were expelled in 1492 moved to Tzvat. That for years Tzvat barely existed. There was nobody there. There was nothing doing over there. But after the Spanish expulsion, after the Inquisition, so many Jews moved to Tzvat. Some of them who moved to Tzvat were those who had converted to Christianity. So they wanted to relieve themselves of the kares. So they wanted to give smicha in order to give malchus. The whole thing was a pella. In order to give malchus means that there would be hasra. You can't give hasra, don't do Avodah Zarah, we're going to give you malchus. It's a lav shenit and lasaris misis bezin. And nobody gave hasra, even if they would. There was no hasra, there was no bezin since the churban bayis sheni. Whoever gave hasra? Maybe someone gave hasra, don't convert to Christianity because there's a mitzvah kiddush Hashem. Well, no one told them, don't convert to Christianity, you're going to get malchus. So they were working on the assumption, if you make an ad hoc bezin and you give ad hoc malchus, like makam yonchin shalom menadin, this is not malchus. Kol chavikrisha loka means if a person ate chelim adam chomitz b'pesach, ate on Yom Kippur, and they gave him a hasra, don't eat on Yom Kippur, the punishment is going to be malchus. And he went ahead and he said, I don't care, give me the malchus. And then he gave the malchus, which is prescribed by the Chumash, and then the Mishnah says, Kol chavikrisha shalaku niftur midei krisus. But this is a chiddush, but they understood. You're going to put together a bezna of three smuchim, and you're going to give an ad hoc malchus, not based on the normal dinim of malchus. That relieves you from the chorus. The whole thing was a chiddush. So one of the points that they debated was Maral Bach, Rabbi Levi Mechabiv, who lived in Yerushalayim. He was never invited when they had the kenis of all the Rabbanim and Tzvat. They didn't invite anybody from Yerushalayim. So he said the whole thing wasn't valid when they conferred smicha to Rabbi Yosef Karan to another two. He said the whole thing was not valid because the Rambam only has the chiddush asmicha if all the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael gathered together. And he says we weren't invited. All the Rabbanim and Yerushalayim were not invited. So he had another taina that he had another two tainas that were relevant in a sefer in Kuntras Asmicha. So one taina he has is that the Rambam only says chiddush asmicha is relevant to be mechayev people knas, only helps with dinim mamis. Rambam never said that it's good for malchus. Rav Soloveitchik said that he heard that taina from Rav Simcha Zelig, who was the Dayan in Brisk, and he said Rav Chaim thought that his diuk was correct. And when the Rambam writes the din of chiddush asmicha, he only writes it b'negia to yesh lahem lo dun dini knosis. He never said it b'negia to malchus. And then this the Mishlam Melech, who was later, Mishlam Melech was not in the 1500s. He was after Rabbi Yosef Karam. So the Mishlam Melech has in his one of his kuntris, Derech Mitzvesecho, he wrote Heoris on the Sefer Mitzvahs La Rambam, the difference between the Rambam's count and the Ramban's count and the Sefer Achinos count and the Smag. So he points out that the Smag writes in one place that just like you need a Kohen Oyved, you need Hakrovas HaKarbonis to be able to administer Din in the Foshes, so too you need a Kohen Oyved to be able to administer Malkus against the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Sanhedrin about Dinei Malkus, wherever you have a bezna, three people have smicha, Malkim is manazeh, it means that you don't need a kohen oivet. You don't need, if you would have required a bezna 23 for Malkus, that's a machlokes hatanoim, the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So according to Tana, who thinks that you need a Sanhedrin Tana for Malkus, so the Sanhedrin Tana can only function if it's bitsiruf with the whole system, the whole court system, and there's no Sanhedrin doyle bezmanazeh. But we paskin that Malkus does need a Sanhedrin Tana, just good enough with bezna of three. So the Rambam writes, Komokim Sheish Shlosh Smuchim is Manazeh, Malkim you can give Malkus. So the Mishlam Melech writes in the Derech Mitzvah Sech and his Ha'oris that the Smag disagrees with the Rambam, and he holds that since Malkus B'Mokam Misa Amed is just like he can't administer the death penalty unless you have a Kohen Oivet, the Gemara learns that in the middle of Sanhedrin, and the Mems, the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, you can't administer Din and Nefashis unless there's a Hakrovas HaKarbonis taking place, so to Malkus as well. So that was another Taina against the whole fantastic story, the whole Chiddush HaSmicha story. Anyway, the Torah has this din for the special korban avodah zarah. I was asked to deliver shiur tonight. It's going to be the 10th yahrzeit of someone, I don't know who it is yet, so I'm going to talk about Hilchas Challah tonight. I think it's going to be 9:15 or 9:30. So if people are interested in hearing about Challah, come tonight. So I'll skip that now.
Is that then, written in the main base medrash or in a classroom?
I think it's going to be one of the classrooms on the third floor. They said they're going to put up signs. The next parsha in the Chumash is about the special karbanist. One who eats chelav adam brings kizbo sira, and if the Bez Nagadol made a mistake, so they bring parhal and davshal tzimah. Here, by the Zara, everything is different. I don't know if they ever brought a parhal and davshal tzimah, if they ever brought a sira by the Zara, but the Chumash writes it. You see, in the Avodah Zarah religion, they have a principle of infallibility, that the Pope never makes a mistake. We don't have such a principle. The only one who's infallible is the burial. All human beings can make a mistake, including Moshe Rabbeinu. You can have a unanimous vote of the Bez Nagadol making a mistake. Like Mora says, the din of Parhal Nadav Shatib is only if they voted unanimously. You can have all of the 71 members of the Bez Nagadol made a mistake, and then they'll realize it. I don't know if it ever happened, but on the books it says in the Chumash, the halacha is providing for what to do in such a case, that the Bez Nagadol made a mistake. Now, people treat it, exaggerate so much about Das Torah as if the Gdolim never make any mistakes. The Gdolim, the Bez Nagadol can make a mistake. So, Pasuk and Chumash. The Pasuk says that one who worships Avodah Zarah is Chayv Koris, as Hashem hu megadev, v'nichrasu ha-nefesh ahi mikerev ama. The Gemara has two interpretations. Hashem who Megadeth goes on one who is Megadeth as Hashem. He curses Hashem. Well, no, it goes on one who worships Avodah Zarah. Megadeth is Avodah Zarah. In this pasuk, Megadeth doesn't mean Megadeth, Megadeth as Hashem. It means he worships Avodah Zarah. So there's a Rambam in the Mor and the Buchim. But the Rambam has an interesting interpretation. As Hashem who Megadeth, how does Rashi say? This is Pasuk Lamed. Megadef Mecharef. Mecharef. He's Mevazah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi quotes the Machlokes in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik, whether the word as Hashem and Megad goes on Megadef as Hashem, Mekala as Hashem goes on Avid Avid Zah. So if it goes on Avid Avid Zah, what does it mean Megadef? It's Mevazah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam writes in the Mor and the Buchim, if a person eats Chazer, so if a person, he knows that it's not right, he believes in God and he eats chazer, he can't control himself or he's lax, so then he gets malchus. But if he eats chazer in a demonstrative fashion that he doesn't believe in all religion, then the Rambam says that's what the Pasuk says, that he's chayv koris, and you give him the death penalty. As Hashem HaMegadeth means one who does any avera in a fashion that demonstrates that he doesn't believe in all religion, so that person deserves a koris and he deserves the death penalty. And so the Rambam writes in Mor and the Buchim. Then the Torah has the institution, the story of the Mekoshesh. The Mekoshesh was Machal Shabbos, unclear in the Chumash what avera he did. So we asked before everybody came. So it was pointed out, the Gemara Tzadik Vov HaMebeis, the Gemara has three opinions. What melocha did he do? The one opinion is Mekoshesh was Mavadal and Amis. One opinion was Tolesh, Kotzer. And the third opinion was Ma'amir. So some of the Gedolim say, why does it say, Vayu b'nei Yisrael ba'midbar v'yimtzu ish Mekoshesh eitzim v'yayim ha-shabbos? Everything was in the Midbar. We're talking for 40 years in the Midbar, in between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Knesset La'aretz. What is the significance of saying Vayu b'nei Yisrael ba'midbar? So I think a few Gedolim say that the Gemara says in the first parak of Masechus Shabbos that Midbar is a Carmelus. So you're not trying for Ma'abed Al Anamis in the Midbar. But Bisman Shahar Yisrael Shuroyim by Midbar, Kamizman Azer, Kamizman Shahar Yisrael Shuroyim by Midbar, Bisman Shahar Yisrael Shuroyim by Midbar, then had the status of Rosh Hashanah because it had heavy traffic over there. So that's what some say, according to the Tana, who says that the Chi of Nisa of the Mekosh is because he was Ma'abed Al Anamis Bishus Aram, the first suggestion. And you understand the phrase, Vayir ben Yisrael Bamidbar. Therefore, it had a din of Rishus Arab in their eyes. That's what Tosis had the Girsa, the Bahag had a Girsa in the Gemara, that it's only Rishus Arab in their eyes if you have Shishim Ribo people. Because Vayir Yisrael Bizmanche, ben Yisrael Shroim Bamidbar, ben Yisrael were in the Midbar, had Shishim Ribo. That's a Gemara. First parak in Shabbos. Kam Bizmanche Yisrael Shroim Bamidbar. Kam Bizmanche Yisrael Shroim Bamidbar. That's the Tesis on Vavam and Beis. Kam is man she Yisrael Shroim Ba Midbar. Ma'ash Maktzaz, Deinu Vishu Sarab Melem came to Yim Sham, Shishim Riba Kamo Ba Midbar. That's the Tesis. In Yeridei Simit Beis, it says that one who's an Oibir Abed Azor, and Ishech Tzabeim, so Shchitos on Abeim. Then it says, one is an Apikuris, also on Amchal Shabbos, but for Esi, Adinu Koibir Abed Azor, and Shchitosa in Aveil. So Rabbi Kivega on the bottom of the page in the Yeridei Simen Beis refers you to a Tshuvas HaTashbeit, that the Tashbeit quotes from the Geonim, it's a tradition that Mechal Shabbos Beferhesi Dina Kakam is only if he does Avodas HaKarka. It never appears in the Gemara. So some say because Tosfos, where they get such an idea from, only Avodas HaKarka. Why is Machal Shabbos Dina Kovid Avodah Zarah? So someone mentioned yesterday by the Siyum that the reason why is because Rashi writes there in Chulin Daf Hei Amud Beis. The reason why is because when we observe Shabbos, we are made, we are testifying that we believe in the story of creation, that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested afterwards. So one is Machal Shabbos Beferhesia is demonstrating he doesn't believe in the story of creation. So he's an Apikiris. So Machal Shabbos Beferhesia Dina Kovid Avodah Zarah. As if he's demonstrating he doesn't believe in the story of creation. So the story of creation was Bereshis Bor Elokim Asa Shamayim Asa Oretz. It was Avodas HaKarka. Avodas HaKarka. The Rebbeinu Shlomo didn't do Haitzor. He didn't do Kosev and Moichek. He did Avodas HaKarka. That's how some say. That's what he means. So Tosfos has a famous kasha. The Gemara says, Yedeya hoya Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu Rashi Yechomish Kvotz. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Mekoshesh was Chai Misa. He didn't know which Misa. And it says, "Vayanichu osa ba mishma kila porish mayi osa lo." They didn't know which death penalty to give him. So Tosfos says, "What do you mean they didn't know? If you don't know, so you give chenek. Stami samur ba Torah is ein ela chenek because you have skila sveva erik chenek, the lightest one is chenek. And if you don't know, yatarasha la hachmer olav el lahakel olav. So in the farshas lochos, so give him the least." So why didn't they give him chenek? What were they clearing about? Should have given chenek. So Tosfos says no, but he was Machal Shabbos Beferhesia. Machal Shabbos Beferhesia dinik Ovid Avodah Zarah, and Ovid Avodah Zarah is dinik b'skila. So that's what they were wondering. Maybe we should give him skila. That's what Tosfos says. So since the whole suffix of Moshe Rabbeinu was about Machal Shabbos Beferhesia, and the story was he did Avodah Sakarka. If he say he was Ma'abed Al Anamis, it wasn't Avodah Sakarka. But if he say he was Kotzer. If he say kotzer, that's avodas HaKarka. They say, I think from Rav Henkin, that he said that it absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. There ain't no such thing. But avodas HaKarka, that it's a misprint. It's a toys in the Ksav Yad. That you shouldn't say Mechal Shabbos Beferhesia is only avodas HaKarka. You should say chutz mikidushin. Mechal Shabbos Beferhesia dino ka'akum. Benegeh teshchite, benegeh to other dino. But not benegeh, if he's mekadosh and isha, then the kidushin achal. He said, the whole thing doesn't make sense, it must be a misprint. This whole, that's at Rabbi Kivega and Simon Beis in Yeridea, on the bottom of the page, quotes this from the Tshuvas Tashbeitz, who quotes it from the Tshuvas Agon. Rabbi Kivega in the Gilian Ashas has a sharp kasha. Tosfos said, what was the suffix? Kilo Parish Lahem Ayi Yosalo. They didn't obey Eza Misa to give him the death penalty. Should he give him Chenek or should he give something worse? Why did they have a minute to give something worse? Because Machal Shabbos Beferhesia, Dina Kavod Avodah Zarah. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam said that he gets Kila, how do we know that a normal Mechal Shabbos gets Kila? Maybe their Svara was right. Maybe only because he was Mechal Shabbos Befehesis Dina Kavod Avodah Zarah. Maybe if you Mechal Shabbos Betzina, maybe you don't get Kila. Rabbi Yehuda asked Akash and Negilyon Ashas on the side of that Tosis, what Tosis says. Someone told me the other day that Rav Hutna has a Charif as the Geteret. Rav Hutna has a Sefer on Shabbos, he has a Sefer on Pesach, a Sefer on Rosh Hashanah, and so on. The Sefer on Shabbos, they told me that I didn't have a chance to look it up yet. He told me that here it says, Mechutz Lamachana, it says, go later, Mechutz Lamachana, they took Mechutz Lamachana, they gave him Misa. So Rav Hutna says, if it would have been skila because of Ovid Avodah Zarah, then it is a special din by Ovid Avodah Zarah. They give him the death, they give him the skila al Pesach Shar HaYersha Ovad Bo. So what is it? Just that he took him Mechutz Lamachaneh. They should have taken him. You don't give him the skila by the house where you worshipped Avodah Zarah. I think in Shar HaYer. Shar HaYer said, this was Shar HaYer. What, there is no Shar HaYer? I don't know, I didn't look it up. I have to look at it. They told me it's at the end of his kuntres on Shabbos. He has a teretz on the kash. The parsha ends with the sedra ends with the parsha of tzitzis, that we have to put tzitzis on a four corner of the garment, and some chutim have to be tchela, some chutim have to be lava. The Gemara presents a machlekes hatanayim, whether tchela's in perikat tchela's, whether tchela's machlekes as alovan, lovan machlekes hatchela's, what if you make all four strings? Tchelos. Is it kosher or not? So that's a machloikis hatanoim. And then in Perek Bamei Madlikin in Masech HaShabbos, there's a machloikis, the Balamor and the Ramban had a paskin. So the Balamor paskin is like Rebbe, the Tchelos makevis hasalovan, lovin makevis hatchelos. The paskin's ma'akvim says that we have not followed that opinion for many many generations. We have tzitzis without any tchelos. Ramban writes in the Mohammeds on Perek Bamei Madlikin, we heard about the Balamor. Balamor lived in an earlier generation. We heard about the Balamor that he never wore tzitzis. If he holds tchelis makevis and he didn't have any tchelis, what is he going to gain? He's not going to gain anything by wearing tzitzis. Anyway, we paskin against this Balamor. We paskin like the Ramban that tchelis ainu makevis is halovan and lovan ainu ma'akev is hatchelis. The Gemara has a machlokes b'sham Yisrael. How many strings are you supposed to have? Do you have three long strings, you fold them over to make six. Or do you have four long strings, you fold them over to make eight. So we follow Beis Shammai. That's one of the six cases. This is in the beginning of Sukkah. Quotes the Siddur Rav Amram going there. There are six cases where we pass them like Beis Shammai. The Gemara in the end of the first parak has the Yud Ches Dover, the 18 cases where Beis Shammai outvoted the Beis Hillel, and we pass them like the Beis Shammai. But the Gemara says the next day the Beis Hillel came back, and they agreed. So that it's not that we follow Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. The Beis Shammai outvoted the small segment of Beis Hillel who were there that day. Then the next day they were all maskim. So Taisus in the beginning of Sukkah, Rav Gimel HaManala quotes the Siddur Rav Amagon that there were six cases where the Beis Hillel didn't give in to the Beis Shammai. We paskin like the Beis Shammai. One of them is how many chutim you put in the tzitzit. We paskin four. You fold them over, you make eight. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, in the beginning of Hamoicha Es Hasfina, the Rabbi Bava Chana was traveling in the desert and he saw this, he saw the Mesa Midbar, he said, oh, this is not all, I got it there. So they asked Rabbi Bava Chana, he saw the Mesa Midbar, did you count the strings on the tzitzis to see whether the din is like Bishamah? He said, it didn't occur to me. So they said to him, moron, idiot, you're there by the archaeological site and you don't use the archaeological evidence to determine what the din is. So you see, they said, call Baba Chana Sikhsa, he's a fool. You should have, if you already see the Mesa Midbar, so count the chutim on the beggar. So you see, if in the Gemara, Al Pi Pashtus, that archaeological evidence plays a role. Sometimes it doesn't play a role because it's not reliable, it doesn't necessarily prove anything. You find a mikveh that doesn't correspond to the Chazanish's Shiurim, who says the mikveh was good? Maybe the mikveh was by Isiim, maybe the mikveh was by non observant Jews. Everybody went to mikveh then. Not only the Orthodox Jews.
According to the Rambam, who hold that the Beis and Shiva hold over there is just the Darshan Sukkim to how they get out to El Mitzvah. So it would have helped even from Rav Chanan came back and said there are three and said that they had six strings. So but they had a Rishos later to Darshan Gilgil and four and
That's a very good question. I don't know exactly the answer. It could be, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that the Rambam says, and the Bezin every generation has a right to disagree with any earlier Bezin. You can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu, though. Whatever, it's called Teres Moshe, Zichra Teres Moshe Avdi. In the end of Malachi, it says Zichra Teres Moshe Avdi. So he said, his grandfather, Rav Chaim, said, you can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a sefer, a pilpul sefer on Chumash. Somebody found a manuscript from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. They have tons. They still have many more manuscripts in Prague. There are many more Kisva Yad there. Whoever wants to get a doctoral degree, he can work on a Ksav Yad in Prague. The Talmidim have tons of Torah, drushes from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. So one of the Gedolim in Europe found a Ksav Yad on Chumash. On every parsha, Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz has a pshetel on a medrash. So he put out a sefer. So on every parsha, he has from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz and his own. On Bereshis, on Noach, on Lech Lech, every sedra. I forgot what it's called, something Yonison, and then he has his own director. So he was going around collecting haskamas for the sefer. So he came to Rav Chaim and he showed him part of the manuscript. So Rav Chaim read that he has a pshetla, that was machlekes, Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro had a machlekes, it was machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid. So Moshe Rabbeinu held like the Ravid and Paro held like the Rambam, whatever. So Rav Chaim said, you can't have a machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid against, no one can argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says goes, you can't have a machlekes. So he couldn't give a haskama to the sefer. A pshetl, a medrash pliya sefer. So he said, so the author of the sefer was going around and said, he doesn't know, maybe it wasn't printed yet. Will Rav Chaim give him haskama if he leaves that out? So he said, yeah, if you leave out that shtickle Torah, I'll give you haskama. So he had, the whole sefer was in Warsaw, and he told him to leave out the first 8 pages, to leave room for haskamas, and they should set all the type for everything else. So he did, so when he came to Warsaw, he found that they had already printed that shtickle Torah, so it was too late to remove it. So, and Rav Chaim told me, you can't print my haskama if you leave that in. So he printed Rav Chaim haskama, and he has an asterisk, and he has on the bottom of the page, Rav Chaim only gave him permission to print the haskama if he leaves out this particular shtickle Torah. And he came to Warsaw, it was printed already, so he wants everyone to know that Rav Chaim held that that's apikursus, but the rest of the sefer has a haskama. So I have that sefer, and my father had that sefer in his library. Interesting. Yeah. So maybe if they'll find the Meisei Midbar that they had only 3 strings, 4 strings, whatever. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu Paskin, that is the din. You can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. In recent years, the Radzina Rebbe in the late 1800s wanted to figure out what exactly is the Pchelus. Because even though in Tzitzis we assume that the Pchelus is not Ma'akev Salavan, we don't follow the Balamor, but in Big Dekuna, that for sure, that's a tosefta, that l'choladeus, tchelus is me'akeves. If you don't have tchelus, so the big dekuna are not kosher. So the Radzina Rebbe felt we have to prepare whatever we can for the coming, for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. You have to prepare by having tchelus. So he went specially to Italy, and there was a big aquarium, and he's going to figure out which sea animal is the chalazin. So he came up with his chiddush, what was a chalazin. And at that time, many of the Gedolim did accept it, many didn't accept it, big machlokes whether to accept it or not. So the Beis HaLevi was one of those Gedolim who did not accept the Radzina Rebbe's Tchelos, but there are 2 versions of what he said, why he's not accepting it. So the Radzina Rebbe printed 3 Svarim, 3 different Svarim, 3 different titles. Now they print them all together, Shlosh Sifri HaTchelos. So either the second or the third Sefer, he has the reactions of the Rabbanim, of his contemporaries to his Chiddush. So he has a letter that he doesn't tell you who wrote the letter. He says it was a Talmid Chacham who was a close associate of the Beis HaLevi. And he writes why the Beis HaLevi was opposed. So he writes, our fathers and our grandfathers were familiar with the fact that the squid fish spits off this black dye. They knew that, and they never used that dye for Tchelus. So we have a tradition that that's wrong. And he writes in the letter, if you'll come up with a new fish and you'll explain to me why it's the chalos. You explain why it got lost. How come in the days of the Gaonim got lost, and how come now it reappeared? He says, I'll be happy to go along with you. But he says it can't be the squid fish. That's what the Radzina Rebbe thought, because our ancestors were familiar with the squid fish. They knew it has the black dye, and they never used it for the trelos. That's the way it says in the Sefer. The way the Soloveitchik family presents it, both Rav Soloveitchik, who used to be from Boston here in the yeshiva, and Rav Davila Soloveitchik, and I said, they all say certainly a totally different version of this story. They say, since the tradition was lost, what the chalazin is, so you can't reconstruct the tradition based on archaeological evidence and based on dictionaries. Even though you find in all the dictionaries that this is chalazin and this is trelas, if you don't have a masaira, so then it's not acceptable. So I remember when Rav Soloveitchik said this once in the shir for the Balabatim on a Tuesday night. So they started asking 1,000 kashas. Kasha from Rabbi Baba Chana, the Gemara says he's a fool, why he didn't look at the trelas. They see archaeological evidence is good. So he gave a teretz on that. The teretz that he gave was, the Gemara says, Hahu Taya. Hahu Taya means it was an Arab. A Goyisha Arab was giving him the tour in the Midbar. He showed him the Mesa Midbar. Rav Soloveitchik said that in the Zohar, every so often it says, Ahu Taya, an Arab merchant, and it means Eliyahu HaNavi. So he says, maybe the one who bumped into Rabbi Baba Chana was Eliyahu HaNavi, so then it's a Masorah. Eliyahu HaNavi is telling him how many strings. They kept on asking kashas on everything. So he was giving doichek answers. Yeah, anyway, that's the question. Whether is there such a halacha that Rav Soloveitchik said that we paskin the machlok Rabbi Menuri and the Rabbanon, whether Oiris is bolei dechimutz or not. So we paskin against Rabbi Menuri, it's not bolei dechimutz, but you say very many mizaynus on Oiris, and Tosis thinks only on Oiris, not on Doichen. So what is Oiris? You got to know what is Oiris. So Tosis has two opinions. One opinion, Oiris is rice, and Doichen is millet, and the other opinion is Doichen is rice, and Oiris is millet. Two opinions. So you ask any Puerto Rican in the neighborhood, they'll all tell you, arroz is rice. You ask any Arab, rice is arroz, or is arroz. Everybody knows that. Rav Soloveitchik said, no, it's a sveke de dina, tzvei deis and teisves, and we have no masorah, and the masorah was lost. You can't reconstruct the masorah based on a dictionary, based on the goyim. So he said, it's a sveke de dina, whether you say mezaina is on the rice or not. You can't paskin based on archaeological evidence or based on evidence from the dictionary. It's a shver and chidush. A very shver chiddush. They asked Rav Feivel Cohen from Flatbush, sent a letter to Rabbi Yashiv. He took a year off from his rabbanis to be Mishamish Rabbi Yashiv to pick up Shemesh and Psak Alocha. And then after he came back to America, so he maintained his contact by corresponding with Rabbi Yashiv. So he sent him a letter. He asked him which of the two versions make more sense to him. So he said, the family version does make sense to him. Why can't you reconstruct the Masorah based on archaeology? He thought that you could. He thought the other version makes sense. So then in the Feivel Cohen, in the same letter, he asked him, and if you hold like that version, so what do you say about the new trelas? So he says he doesn't know. He has to think about it. And then they say they gave him a presentation about the new trelas. Yeah. Famous machlekas, the Rambam and the Ravid and Tosfos, how many strings have to be trelas, how many lovan? Rambam's opinion is half of a long string. One of the eight strings should be trelas. The Ravid's opinion is one long string should be trelas, and Tosfos' opinion is it should be two and two. Two strings are blue, and two strings are white. In Shulchan Aruch, they only quote the Tosfos' sheet, and we have dinim that are noig bizman hazeh, based on the assumption that it's two and two. So you have in the Mechaber, and you have in the Mishnah Berurah, that's the only opinion that's quoted, and it was observed like that for years, that we assume it's two and two. That's why the Pashtus, if one wants to put on trelas, the Pashtus should have two and two. And if a person doesn't want to spend so much money, it costs much more. If you have two long strings that are blue, it's going to cost much more than a half of a string or one long string, at least twice as much. It's going to cost $100 for one talus just for the trelas alone. So if a person decides he doesn't want to spend so much money, wants to save money, that's a violation of Bal Tigra. Whenever you have, you're supposed to put in two full strings and you don't put in one string, half of a string, that's exactly Bal Tigra.
I thought you could bring a raya, like the raya against Tosfos from the Nagata and Sota in Poland, that says that it's brought on Rosh El Torah. So this was Imi Yechud that's Ruch now. So this was it says there was a Chuchat Chelas.
I don't know. It's a good taina. Chod shel tchela sounds like it's one. I don't know. Yeah, Taisus has two opinions. When you say that Tchelis is not Miakevis as a Lovon, for so many years, we put in only Lovon. So do you put in two strings folded over to make four? Or do you put in four strings folded over to make eight? If you have no Tchelis, what are you putting in two more strings? So Taisus comes to the conclusion, they think, no, Tchelis is not Miakevis as a Lovon, but you need four strings anyway. Four strings folded over to make eight. But there was another opinion that not so. The Gemara has a machlekes bisham and bishilo. Are you permitted to put the tchelos in a beged shel pishton if it's made from linen? What's the issue? Because the tchelos has to be a specific color of blue, has to come from the chalazon, and it has to be, that string has to be tzemer, has to be wool. And if the string is not tzemer, if it's not wool, then you're not yet in the mitzvah of tchelos. So if the string of tchelos is going to be wool and the beged is pishton, it's going to make shatnes. So we say, yeah, that's right. That's esedechel esesi. That's the mark of the whole institution. The Gemara in the beginning of Yevamos and our Gemara in Shabbos and Rabbi Lezer in the Mila says the whole marker of esedechel esesi is the smuchim chumish dvarim that you have the two dinim next to each other. Gedilim tasa luchal arkafes ksus choshet achasavo is right next to the pasuk of lasu b'shat and semer pishtim yachtov. That's how we know that esedechel esesi. So the Gemara says one version of the machlok is bisham misilus, whether you hold like that, that you agree that chelus, the mitzvah of tzitzis is doicha, the lois essay of kelaim. The pashtus is that even misilul also bisham and misil, they both agree essay is doicha lois essay, but it's exera de rabbanon. Machlok is bisham misilus. Do we make exera de rabbanon? It's exera de rabbanon. Exera mishum kelo ilon. And the days of the Tanoim, there are a lot of fakers who are selling blue dye and claiming that it's tchelos, and it was really imitation. It was really kloilon. It wasn't authentic tchelos. So if you put in chutei tzemer and a beged shel pishton is shatnes, and if you don't have authentic tchelos, then you violated shatnes shelo b'mkom mitzvah. So there was no hetter. So that's the reason for Beis Shammai. That's the Gemara said. That's the real reason for Beis Shammai. They also agree as a dechal esesei, and if you would be convinced that it's really authentic tchelos, of course you would put in the beged shel pishton, but they made exer derabban, exer mishum klo ilum. So the Rosh is quoted by the Tur in Simen Ches, and it's in the Tshuvas HaRosh. The Tur quotes his father wrote a tshuva when the Rosh lived in Germany, and then after the Maharam Rutmerk passed away in prison, so he was afraid they're going to put him in prison and hold him captive until the Jewish community will pay the ransom money, because that they held the Maharam Rutmerk in prison till the day that he died. So he ran away to Spain. The Rashbo was there. The Rashbo hosted him for a week or so, and then he got a rabbanus. So after he stayed in Spain for a while, a Yekesh rabbi in Spain, he doesn't speak Spanish, he speaks German, Yiddish, whatever, German, and he's a rabbi by the Sfarim. So he sees that all the balabatim are wearing tzitzis and a beged shel pishton. So he says, my high, the din is like Beis Shammai, that it's a gzera debon. You're not supposed to put any tzitzis at all on a beged shel pishton. Gzera mishum klo ilon. So the balabatim told him, no, that gzera only makes sense bizman that you have tchelus. So your friend is going to put in klo ilon in the posel of tchelus. So then you make a gzera mishum kalila. You may fall in, you may put in shat and shalom and makam mitzvah. But as man as nobody has any tchelos anyway. So there's no have many. We're not going to fall in with any kloilon. So the whole reason for the gzera doesn't apply, so the whole gzera doesn't apply. So the Rosh says, hey, they're right. I wasn't thinking they're right. It's perfectly okay to put in tzitzis and a beged shel pishtim as man as that, because the whole reason for the gzera doesn't apply. So the Mishkan is Yankiv has a tshuva where he discussed the first two tshuvas in Chelash Mishpat and the Sefer Koheles Yankiv. Those are whatever tshuvas weren't included into the Mishkan's Yankiv, his original tshuvas went into the Koheles Yankiv. So the first two tshuvas in Chelash Mishpat, he talks about this Rosh at length. Isn't that a dovish of a minyan tzach minyanach alatir? Whenever you make a gzera derabbanon for a reason, even if you live in a generation where the reason no longer applies, that gzera derabbanon still applies. So how come the Rosh is so excited about the Balabatim Sfora? That since nobody has any tchelos anyway. So the Mishkan is Yankiv explains that this is Gzeir Bakiras Dov Ben HaTorah, that Chachamim are telling us, don't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's B'shevi Altas, Yeshkach B'Yach Chachamim Laka Domana Tarbishai Valtasa. They say you're allowed to wear a four-cornered garment of linen, but don't put in tzitzis, because we're afraid that you may fall in with shakness. So that's what the Mishkan Sayakov explains. He's interpreting in the Rosh. The Rosh doesn't explain it at all. The Rosh doesn't explain it. He just says, yeah, the Balabatam I write. And the Tas says, and it's not a Dabash of Imin Yitzach Merachal Atir, and the Rosh explained it. The Rosh doesn't explain a word. So the Mishkan Sayakov explains. He says, whenever the Chachamim make a gzeira bakiras dov min haTorah to violate a mitzvah in the Torah, they have to incorporate the Tama gzeira into the Nusach gzeira. Otherwise, the gzeira is on hent and on feast. How can they make a gzeira against dov? It says in the Torah, you do have to put in tzitzis. How can they make a gzeira against the pasuk and chumash? So since the Tama gzeira had to be incorporated into the Nusach gzeira, so called the tikkun rabban kein deraisa tikkun. If you have a din deraisa with the chumash, writes the reason next to the mitzvah, so then the reason regulates the application of the mitzvah. And whenever the tam doesn't apply, then the mitzvah doesn't apply. So every case of gzera de rabbanim, akiras dov min haTorah, it's always like a mitzvah deraisa, where the Torah writes the reason next to the mitzvah. It's a big chiddush. Okay, Hilchos Tzitzis, we discussed this year, last year we discussed. Fine. Tonight, Bli Neder, I will give the shiur on challah.